Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson on using erosion as an effects layer in drum and bass and jungle. If you've only ever seen erosion as that weird noise thing, today you're going to flip the mindset. In DNB, erosion is controlled grit. It's not there to replace distortion, and it's not there to be a special effect that you obviously hear. It's there to give your bass and drums that extra layer of electrical life, like air and sand and metallic fizz, sitting behind the main sound. And the big rule that makes erosion sound pro is this: treat it like a parallel texture layer. Seasoning, not the main ingredient. If you slam erosion in line at full wet, you usually flatten your core tone and you get hiss instead of energy. By the end of this, you'll have a reusable erosion texture layer you can drop on a bass group, a drum bus, or even use as a shared grit space for multiple channels. We'll build the chain, we'll make it controllable, then we'll talk about how to actually use it in an arrangement like a DNB producer. All right, open your Ableton project. Let's start with workflow, because this is where people go wrong. Step 1. Set up the parallel layer. Pick your bass group or your drum group. You have two options: a return track or an Audino effect rack with a parallel chain. If you want multiple channels to share the same texture vibe, a return track is the cleanest. If you want a unique texture layer per sound, use a rack on that track. We'll do the return method first, because it's fast, it's flexible, and it's classic. Create a return track, name it our erosion texture. On this return, every device should be effectively 100% wet. Your blend will come from the send knobs on your bass group and drums. That way your main sound stays intact, and you can dial in the texture like a layer. Before we even add erosion, one coaching note: gain staging matters more with erosion than with most effects. Tiny level changes before erosion can make it feel like it's random. So here's a trick that saves time. Put a utility at the very start of the return. Don't do anything fancy. Just use it as an input trim. Your goal is consistency. When you send a healthy amount from your source, your return channel should peak roughly around -12 to -6 dB before compression. Not because that number is magic, but because it keeps the whole chain predictable. Now let's build the core chain. The order is EQ, then erosion, then filtering, then dynamics, then stereo control, then final EQ polish. First device after your input trim utility, EQ8. This is pre-filtering. You're not doing mix EQ here. You're basically telling erosion what not to waste energy on, and you're stopping it from generating useless broadband hash. If you're building a bass texture layer, do a high pass around 150 to 250 HE, steep enough to keep low end out of the texture return. 24 dB per octave is a good starting point. The low end has one job in DNB: stay stable and punchy. We are not adding noisy width down there. If you're texturing drum tops or a break, high pass higher, like 500 HC up to 1K HE, because you want the grit to live above the fundamentals. If you want air, you can add a gentle shelf lift around 8 to 12K, but be careful. That's also where hiss lives. Next device, erosion. This is the generator. It adds that buzzy, noisy digital texture, and you can target where it's emphasized. Two big choices here: noise mode versus wide noise mode. Noise is more focused fizz. Wide noise is broader static, more spray across the sound. In a dense mix, wide noise can quickly turn into "where did all the sand come from?" So keep it controlled. Now the core parameters. Frequency is where erosion emphasizes the grit. Width is how wide that emphasized area is. Amount is intensity. Let's do starting points for different use cases. For bass texture and rolling DNB, start with mode on noise. Set frequency around 2.5 kHz, width around 0.30, amount somewhere between 0.3 and 1.2, but start at 0.5. Your first goal is not hear it clearly. Your goal is feel the bass read more clearly on smaller speakers, and feel more alive when a return is unmuted. For neuro mids or that metallic edge, switch to wide noise. Frequency more like 4.5 to 7K. Width tighter, like 0.15 to 0.35. Amount lower, like 0.2 to 0.8. For breaks and top sparkle, wide noise again. Frequency 8 to 12K. Width 0.2 to 0.5. Amount 0.1 to 0.6. And you'll probably use more filtering after. Here's a quick diagnostic you can use by ear. If you hear radio hiss, your amount is too high and your width is probably too wide. If you hear cheap sandpaper, move the frequency higher and filter more aggressively. Sandpaper usually means you're living in that ugly upper mid zone too loud. Next device, auto filter. This is pose taming and motion. It's one of the secrets to making the texture feel like it belongs to the groove rather than feeling like a separate noise track. Set auto filter to band pass if you want focused grit, or high pass if you just want it out of the way of the body. For bass texture, a band pass somewhere around 2 to 6K is a great zone. Resonance around 10 to 25%. Don't overdo resonance yet. It can whistle. Now for motion. Turn on the LFO in auto filter. Sync it. Try 1/8 note or 1/4 note rate. Keep the amount low, like 5 to 15%. The point is subtle shimmer. If you hear the filter wobbling, it's too much. Also, experiment with a phase if you're doing stereo movement. Sometimes a tiny phase offset makes it feel wider and more alive without sounding like an effect. Next device, glue compressor. Erosion can be spiky. The glue stabilizes the layer so it sits consistently under your main sound. Set attack to 3 milliseconds, release to auto, ratio to 2:1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Make up off. Set output manually so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. And while we're here, if your texture pumps weirdly, don't immediately compress harder. Usually it's better to reduce gain reduction and control the intensity with the send amount or with filter focus automation. Next device. Utility. This is where you keep your mix mono safe. Texture often sounds amazing wide, but if you accidentally create wide low content, your mix can feel unstable and disappear in mono. On a bass texture return, turn on bass mono and set it around 150 to 250 HE. Then set width somewhere like 120 to 160%. Go easy. Wider isn't always better, it's just louder in the sides. On drum top texture returns, width around 110 to 140% is usually enough. Pro check, for 10 seconds, drop a utility on your master and set width to 0%. If your track's energy collapses, your texture layer is probably too wide and too loud relative to the center. Bring the return down, or keep the scratch more in the sides but less overall level. Last device, another EQ8 for final polish. This is where you do the Make It Pro cleanup. If there's whistling, add a narrow notch, often somewhere around 3 to 6K. If it's too white noisy above 12K, do a gentle shelf cut. And here's a huge one. Think in masking zones, not just brightness. Erosion loves the same bands as snare crack and vocal consonants, roughly 2 to 6K. If your snare loses bite when you bring the return in, don't just turn the return down. Make space. Cut a bit in the mid-channel with M/SEQ. Or duck the texture on the snare hits. Now, before we get fancy with advanced variations, let's make this layer actually usable musically. Start blending it in. Send your bass group to the return. Raise the send until you just feel it when you mute and unmute the return. This is the best test. If muting the return makes your track feel like it lost energy and forward motion, you're in the zone. If unmuting makes you go, oh, there's a hiss track, you've gone too far. And now an important coaching habit. Use a spectrum device at the end of the return chain, just to verify you're actually adding the band you think you're adding. It's very easy to believe this added presence, when all you did was add constant hash above 10K and you're now masking hats and air. Okay, let's talk performance controls. If you built this as an audio effect rack instead of a return, map the key parameters to macro so you can automate quickly. One macro for texture amount, map to erosion amount. One for texture focus, map to erosion frequency. One for texture width, map to erosion width. One for motion, map to auto filter LFO amount. One for tone, map to auto filter frequency or an EQ shelf. One for clamp, map to glue threshold or output trim. This is automation gold for DNB, because you can play the texture like an arrangement tool. Now let's do arrangement moves that actually sound like records. Drop impact trick, automate the send up by about 2 to 6 dB for the first one or two bars of the drop. Then pull it back slightly so the groove stays clean. That front loads excitement without fatiguing the listener. Call and response mid-bass, on answer phrase. Push erosion frequency higher, like 3K up toward 6K, so the reply is brighter and more electric without changing the core synth patch. Breakbeat excitement. Use the texture return only on every fourth bar, or only on fills, like the last half bar before a transition. This is classic DNB phrasing. It makes the loop feel like it evolves even when the pattern stays the same. Pre-drop tension. Slowly increase erosion amount and auto-filter resonance in the build. Then hard cut the return at the drop for contrast. That contrast is what makes the drop feel bigger. Now, advanced upgrades. These are the ones that save your mix when things get dense. First, advanced variation. Multiband texture return. Create an Audino effect rack on your return with multiple chains, like MIT and AIR. You can add LOW too, but for base texture returns, LOW is off and off. The idea is, you can push edge without turning your whole mix into hiss. In the MID chain, split it so it focuses roughly 1.5 to 7k. Put erosion there, then a band pass, then gentle glue. In the AIR chain, focus 7k and up. Use lower erosion amount and more control, because this band gets harsh fast. Second advanced variation, DS erosion. After erosion, add the standard compressor, not glue. Turn on sidechain and set audio from to the same return track, so it's self-keyed. Then enable the sidechain EQ and boost where it gets harsh, usually around 8 to 12k. Fast attack, like 0.1 to 1 ms. Medium release, 40 to 120 ms. Ratio 4:1 or higher. What this does is act like a de-esser. It only clamps when the hiss spikes. The texture stays present, but it doesn't tear your ears off. Third advanced variation, transient safe drum texture. On a drum texture return, add a gate after filtering. Sidechain that gate from your break or hats bus, not the kick. Set it so the noise opens on hats and ghost notes and stays closed on big hits. The result is the grit follows micro rhythm and your kick and snare keep their punch. Fourth advanced variation, mid slash side split texture. Make a rack with two chains, mid and side. On MID chain, utility width at 0%. On sidechain, utility width up at 200%. Then keep erosion mostly on the sidechain and minimal on MID. This is how you get wide, expensive fizz while keeping the center stable. It's especially good when your bass is already doing a lot in the midrange. Now, some sound design extras if you want next level character. If you want digital rasp without extra harshness, put a very subtle resonator after erosion. Keep dry slash wet like 5 to 15%. Short decay. Then band pass it with auto filter. That turns plain noise into a slightly pitched metallic edge that reads on small speakers. If you want neuro style talking edge, try a vocoder after erosion in noise mode, medium band count, and automate the formant slowly across phrases. Keep it low in the mix. This IO version is shortened for playback.